Well, today I have a message from Acts chapter 10. I want to introduce a man to you. You may have heard his name. It's not an unusual name so much as what he did is very significant in the example he set for us in Acts chapter 10. You know, tomorrow night we've got a big national college football championship, and we've got opponents who are playing again. They played about 10 days ago, and they qualified to play tomorrow night for the championship, whereas there are two others who came into this four-team tournament. They're out. It was one and done. That's what we could say about different opponents and tournaments. That's a single elimination, one and done. Sometimes they're double elimination. You have to lose twice and then you're out. But Cornelius was a man who appeared in the Bible one time, and he's done. Now that's interesting, I think, because we see several people in the Old Testament and the New Testament who are one and done. I think about Enoch, who walked with God, but then he was taken away. He's not mentioned anymore in the Old Testament, but he is in the New Testament because he walked with God, which is very important for us all to be doing. And then you've got a man named Melchizedek, strange name. He comes into our vision because he gave to the Lord tithes. And we don't know anything more about him, but that was significant in itself. But then we can project over into the New Testament, and we find the man born blind. The Lord healed him. We find blind Bartimaeus, and he was healed. We also find Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed a tree, but he was converted that day. The Lord changed his life, and he was ready to make amends for all the money that he had stolen. He said, in fact, four times. So he was transformed. And then we have people in the book of Acts who were transformed, and we don't hear about them. I'd like to know about the rest of their lives. But the Bible has given us enough. And certainly here with Cornelius, we get a whole chapter about him. But then we don't see him anymore. But I want to give you a couple of sections of this five-section chapter about this man. And we can learn a lot from him. I want to start the reading at verse 23, which is at the bottom of my page. And we find here that Peter, the apostle, is going to meet Cornelius and really get to know him and his family and his close friends very well. And he's going to preach a message. And there's going to be something like the day of Pentecost there in Cornelius's home. A mini Pentecost, if you will, because people were converted by the message of Peter. And that's exactly what Cornelius had happened to him. But it's an interesting tale, and let's start reading here. Acts 10, 23. So he invited them to be his guests, that is, Peter did. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of a Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. God be praised. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you again and beg for the illumination of our hearts. Apply this word to us, we pray. May we live it out faithfully and give glory to your name as we live for you in this current age. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is a wonderful story, I think, about Cornelius. As I say, a whole chapter, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. But what I want to point out is his attitude toward all that happened to him, and then also Peter's message, which is so important for us today. Listen to what he says and really get the full message of what he's saying in this passage. Cornelius says that, you know, he had had a vision of an angel. And so, I sent for you at once, Peter, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. He's got great expectations of what's going to happen here with this invitation of Peter, who's come to his home to be with his relatives and his close friends. What does he want? We are in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now, prior to this, the first instance, the sections that I didn't read, tell about how Cornelius was in his house one day praying, and the angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers and alms have been heard by God. Send therefore to Peter. Now, we don't know why Cornelius was praying that way. How did he know anything about the religion of the Jews or about the Old Testament or anything like that? He was a Roman. He was a secular man. He was a commander of 100 men. And believe me, those guys were not gentle or sensitive. They were not people who thought about others. Instead, they are men who are there to enforce Roman occupation there in this land and to make the Jews do whatever they wanted to. So that kind of a person is not normally a religious man, because they had taken the lives of many people, at least some of those centurions. So here he is now. He is praying. He's interested in the Bible, apparently, because he knows that the Jews have these messages from all of these scrolls. They didn't have the Bible like we have today. And they are reading that scroll, and they know something about this Jehovah God. And so Cornelius has shared that with them, but he doesn't know a whole lot. He's come in from the outside. And so the angel says, send for Simon Peter. He's going to tell you a lot more about all of this. So, as he said, I sent for you at once. He sent a little deputation of three men to get Peter. Meanwhile, Peter experiences a complimentary vision, because Peter is hungry and he has to wait for the meal to be cooked. And so he goes up on the rooftop, which was common in that day, and he falls asleep, and he's in this trance, and he sees this large sheet coming down from heaven, which has all these unclean animals and birds and reptiles that the Lord forbade his people to eat over in the book of Leviticus and a couple of other places. He sees that, and the Lord says, rise up, kill and eat. Well, Peter knows that he shouldn't be eating that. He's been taught that. And he said, no, Lord, I've never done that before. But he says, don't call unclean from now on what I call clean. And so he does just what he said. Meanwhile, all of a sudden, the men are at the gate from Cornelius there in Joppa. And he is informed of that by an angel. And he says, the angel says, go down and meet these men. Well, he did that. And he asked the men, what do you want? Well, they tell him, Cornelius has been told to send for you. So here we are. So Peter tells them, well, we'll spend the night and we'll leave tomorrow. So that's what they did, and they headed to Caesarea. But notice what it says here in the Bible about Cornelius. He is a devout man, verse 2 of chapter 10, who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. He was giving offerings to try to alleviate the suffering of the people that were oppressed and occupied. He wants to try to help the synagogue church advance in certain ways, so he's giving of his own salary for that. So this is a good man, a genuine man, imperfect and ignorant though he was about Jesus Christ fully and about the Bible and about the grace and love of God, although he must have picked up something about that. So then we have Peter here, the man who betrayed the Lord, who denied the Lord, I should say, three times, but he has been reinstated. And he preached on the big day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And so he has been jailed a few times for the Lord. Early in the book of Acts, we can read about that. And here he is now being the one who's told to go and preach to a Gentile, which is almost like saying a reptile. You shouldn't be hanging around with Jews. And he explains that. He says, you people know that we are not supposed to be gathering with or associate with or visit any one of another nation, but God has told me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So here I am. What do you want with me, Cornelius? And Cornelius tells him, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now, I like that, because that's the attitude that every Christian should have in Christian worship. to come before the Lord. Let's see about this. He says, we are all here in the presence of God. Now, do you believe we're in the presence of God? You should. We've asked the Lord to be here several times in many different ways. We want His presence. We want His Holy Spirit. We want to be guided. We want to be uplifted. We want to be inspired. We want to serve better. I do. I look over the last year and I'm embarrassed at how little I did for the Lord. I want to speak for the Lord. I want to preach for the Lord. I wish I could do it more. You get to this age and not as many opportunities. That's one reason why I love to go to Uganda. And there I meet with a lot of our alumni, and I'm invited to go and preach in their churches. And that's one thing I've missed in spring of 20 and fall of 20. I hope one day maybe I can go back, but I don't know. But I remember a man who was my translator the first time I ever went to Uganda. He was late 30s, early 40s, and he translated as I preached. That was the first time I'd ever had that experience in Uganda at his home church. And the president happened to be on that trip with me of the college, and he invited the man to come and be a student at African Bible College in Kampala, Uganda. And he came. He had been a teacher there and an elder in that church. But when he graduated, it was about the time I went over and retired from Reformed Seminary, and I made a visit up to the church that he planted with the permission of his pastor. He took a few people out to a different part of town, and they started a church, and all of a sudden I'm preaching to 200 or 300 Ugandans there, and he's translating in his own church. And I went a number of times every spring, every time I went to Uganda. And when I would go and sit down like Eric's doing there and waiting to get up to preach, he would say, the Word is here. The Word is here. They would go through a number of things like we did, prayer, singing hymns, choruses, maybe a baptism or two. But then he'd say, the Word is here. And for him and them, that was like saying, God is present. Not me, but the Word of God was present. And they looked forward to that. The Word is here, is what he would say. And he knew I was there to preach the Word. Sadly, the Lord took him through an automobile mishap in December of 17. Broke my heart. That church continues on. Last time I was there, I preached to about 300 plus people. But notice what else Cornelius says here. We are here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Commanded. Well, how do you know that what Eric preaches is commanded by the Lord, or any of us preach? Well, that's because we have the Bible, and we are studying the Bible. We are learning its messages. And Eric, like many of us, pray all week long. We want to preach the Word that's going to be good for this congregation, whatever it might mean. And in all of my pastorates, I would be preaching through books of the Bible to follow the mind of God. I wouldn't decide I'm going to preach on this one day and that another day that's just off the top of my head or any of my hobbies that I might have. But preach the Bible. If I was in the Old Testament in the morning, I'd be in the New Testament at night, and then vice versa. Because I wanted to preach through whole books. I wanted my congregation to know the whole mind of God on particular issues which the epistles deal with, and the book of Genesis, and book of Isaiah, the Psalms. As it turned out, I think I preached more from the Psalms than any book of the Bible. But there have been some other books that I've loved to preach in. But I preached the whole message, what I've been commanded by the Lord. And, of course, I take suggestions from the elders, the deacons, requests. I know what people are needing, what they've asked me about in my congregation. So this is what he says, all here in the presence of God. Who is the all? He's got his family there. He's got his relatives, his close friends. He wants them to know of the grace of God. He wants them to grow in the Word. Of course, he is at square one, or maybe not even at square one, in his knowledge of what God is doing in the world, what God's purpose is beginning in the book of Genesis and going forward. But he wants to know it. And I pray that all people might know that. And I hope Cornelius got to know the whole mind of God, that he wants to be with us, that he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he wants to walk with us day by day. That fellowship was broken by the sin of Adam. But God came with his plan to save a people for his name, and he's carrying it out, and no one can stop it. No one can stop it. Many people have tried, but nobody's going to snuff out the church. We're going to continue to lift up our voices in praise to God. So this is what has happened with Cornelius. We are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity. You have it Sunday after Sunday, maybe Wednesday included, when you have your full church program going. And other churches here do as well. So Cornelius had great expectations, and God bless that. God bless that richly. And so we read, beginning in verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and all the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on these Gentiles. They were blessed from on high. His expectations were fulfilled, and I hope and pray you have high expectations when you come into the house of the Lord week by week. Expect to hear what is commanded by the Lord. Don't go away and say, well, you know, I didn't hear what God commanded. You did. If you prayed, and I know the elders prayed, and the deacons prayed, the leadership prayed. But notice Peter's gospel message. It's a wonderful message, and he preached that in his early days of ministry. Later, he would take on a stronger, more concentrated message, as we can see from 1st and 2nd Peter epistles in the New Testament. But notice what we have here in terms of his message. It's a basic message. He summarizes the life of Christ in a wonderful way. So he says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Things have gone international now. It's not just the Jews, it's going to be every nation under heaven. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened. So then he launches into that summary of the life of Christ. But notice what he says here about how it's a good news of peace. That's what the gospel is, a good news of peace. You know, one of the first books that Billy Graham ever published was named Peace with God. Peace with God. He's preached all over the world, a jillion messages, I know. But the basic message that he had, or that any of us have, is about peace with God. That's what we need today. All men, from the president on down to the most humble citizen of the U.S. or the world. We need peace with God. We need that peace that passes all understanding, and it can't be bought. It can't be taken from any man as we hand over a key. No, it comes by the Holy Spirit when we are right with God, when we are justified by faith. Paul wrote, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot buy it. You can't go to a store and buy it. You can't come to a church and buy it. It can only come through faith, believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That's what Peter preached. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the Christ, the Anointed One. You know, he says, what happened. And then he began to unfold the ministry of Jesus. As I said, a wonderful summary. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's a wonderful picture, right? That's why I like to read the Gospels. And it's wonderful to preach through the Gospel. That was one of the first things I did in the ministry. I preached through the Gospel of Matthew. Started right there. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews. Peter was there just almost from day one. And they put him to death by hanging him on the tree. His crucifixion. Peter preached about the crucifixion, the death of Jesus. We just celebrated his birth. But he came for one reason. To die. To die. He came to die. We talked about the cradle, but we have to talk about the cross as well. He died on that cross. What a horrible death. We can't imagine today what that death was like. But he suffered that death. But praise God, that death did not hold him. It tells us here that God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God. We ate and drank with him. We know that he rose from the dead. Some of those soldiers knew it too. Those that tried to move the stone, they couldn't do that. But the angel of God did, and the power of the resurrection. What a wonderful testimony that is. We believe that. We believe the resurrection of Jesus. And we believe that we will be too. I remember hearing a man one time, he came through the barbershop where I went, and they were saying, well, how you doing? I don't remember his name. How you doing, Joe? Oh, I'm fine as long as I'm above ground. I said, wait a minute. Don't you have a better place to look forward to? The last time I saw him go through that barbershop, he didn't say that. He didn't say that again because he does have a hope. He has a hope that one day we will be in the Lord's presence, actually praising his name. But then, as Peter shared, he said, Christ commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who's appointed to be the judge of the living and the dead. That's another important thing about Jesus. He's going to be our judge. But he died for us. He has given us a free pass to heaven. But we do have to stand for what we've done here on this earth that is now forgiven forever. It says here, and to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It's a wonderful message. It's a very great summary. There's a lot more that we could learn from the epistles of Peter and Paul, and more that we can learn from the messages of both of them in the book of Acts about the forgiveness and what it means. But that's a message that we all in all the world need to hear. And we want to get that message out. We want it to go abroad. And I know you do too. And your church is no doubt supporting missionaries of various kinds and church planters here and abroad and on the campuses of our nation. And I pray that all of that will be blessed and God will be praised. So then the Holy Spirit came in great power. It was just like the day of Pentecost. They were hearing people speaking in languages that they had never really studied and learned. And Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water?" And they were baptized. What a wonderful day. It all started with great expectations of Cornelius. It surprised him. And here it is now, the fourth day of this whole episode that started when the angel appeared to him. Send to Joppa for Peter. The Lord has heard you, and he has respected your offerings and help for the poor. But now Cornelius has come full circle to be converted to the Lord. And as I said, I would like to know a lot more about his following life and what he did. Did he resign from the Roman army? I don't know whether he could do that. But no doubt his demeanor, his behavior was a lot different after that. And that's the way it is with a lot of us. We are changed completely. Grace transforms our lives. And it did for this man, Cornelius. And I hope you like him. I thought you would. And I believe you'll look at this again and think about how this man says, "I sent for you at once. You've been kind enough to come. Therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord." And from that day on, his life was different. I pray yours is different. And I pray you young people, if you hadn't professed faith in Christ, will come to do so and live a life that's like a shining light. Let your light so shine before men that they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Let's bow. God, we thank you again for the opportunities we have here in this new year, 2021. May our light so shine that you would be glorified in our actions, our decisions, which create our actions. Lord, sanctify us by your Spirit. May we follow your word as we hear the messages from this pulpit week after week. And may it bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.